On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. President Bush was cool, calm, and collected last night, laying out at last his view on the boiling issue of immigration.
There is a rational middle ground between granting an automatic path to citizenship for every illegal immigrant and a program of mass deportation.
But the battle over immigration outside the tidy Oval Office is anything but cool. The symbols and facts are powerful. Bush would send soldiers to the border, National Guard, as a nod to the bar the door crowd, and guest workers to broccoli fields and hotel laundries, and citizenship to illegals who pay the price. Up next on Point, we'll open up the president's big speech and look at the future of immigration. Joining me first today from Washington is Carl Cannon, White House correspondent for the National Journal, a weekly magazine covering American politics. Carl Cannon, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
What was the president's challenge last night, and did he meet it?
Well, his rhetoric challenge was to enter the debate and to show Americans that he's up to speed on this issue. He also has, as you know, a problem in his own party, particularly in the House, which passed a bill sort of just addressing one facet of this problem, securing the borders, and not the other problems. And Bush, the president, clearly thinks that's not enough. The Senate had a compromise that kind of fell apart, and the president is now sort of trying to lead the nation more toward the Senate bill.
He's got a grand canyon inside his own party between those who want nothing but law enforcement and the Senate bill, which would take a line closer to what he described last night. Do you think this bridges it? Is it enough to talk about National Guard troops on the border? Does that hit the symbolic bell that closes the gap?
Well, there's good news and bad news there for the president, in my opinion. First of all, the National Guard thing was really, it's almost a red herring, Tom. It's not going to do anything. It's to try and show symbolically that to the heartland people who are concerned that the border's out of control and they have this image in their mind of hordes of Mexicans streaming across it every day. It's to show them that the president takes that concern seriously. But nobody at the White House, there were briefings all day long, they don't even pretend that this is really an answer to the problem.
Thousands of troops on the border and it's not an answer?
It's a temporary thing, and it's not enough people. And, you know, the president's speech, look, that's not securing the borders, which is this phrase people use. It doesn't just mean building a wall. Most of the people don't even come into this country illegally that way anymore. They come, you know, they come through Tijuana, where we've got, you know, a million a day. They come legally with a visa, or they come to visit relatives, and then they just don't leave. And the president sort of outlined, there's 39,000 Chinese who come here illegally, already been deported legally. China won't take them back, so they're here. Salvadoran, about 200,000. There's a court order in Salvador. You can't send them back because of the Civil War. Well, that's been over 20 years. So the president, he alluded to all this, but this is one small step. If you really wanted to make people come here legally, and that's all, you'd have to spend billions and billions of dollars every year. You have to have much better systems of tracking. And the president outlined just, to me, the beginning of it. But that's only one facet of the problem.
An important one, as you say, symbolically, Carl Cannon, or at least he hopes so, I guess, in that it might settle down those who are most concerned about the permeability of that border.
Sure, but the president doesn't think you can just do one thing at a time. And most of the people looked at this, you know, Tom, there have been commissions on this since Carter administration. I've been writing about this so long, I get frustrated. You know, there's so little institutional memory in the Congress and in my own profession. But everybody who's ever looked at it seriously says, okay, you control the border, but then also you have to have temporary workers or agricultural workers, a way for them to come back and forth. A lot of them don't even want to move here. They want to work and then go back seasonally.
The president talked a lot about that last night, about a high-tech ID card and a guest worker program. Are those going to be welcomed in any way by the wing of his party in the House who's been so tough on this?
Well, probably not. But then the president says, but that if you have that, then you also have to hold employers accountable for hiring illegals. That's the part that might appeal to the populist wing in his party, you know, who go around saying, oh, this is corporate welfare and this is the corporate thing. So then you say, no, if they hire illegals, we're going to crack down on them. And then the president says, if we do those three things, then the fourth thing we have to do is deal with the millions, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 million people are legal. Some of them have been here 15 years or 10 years, and sort of put them in line to get their citizenship. And the president believes you have to do all four of these things with one bill.
And he's saying that's not amnesty. What are you hearing today, Carl? Is he swaying the naysayers in the House, the Republicans in his own party?
The hardcore people, no. Tom Tancredo, no. Other people from North Carolina, Congressman Walter Hill, no. These people are, they sort of see through it. They say, oh, he really wants a sweeping bill. But the president doesn't need every winger in his party. One of the problems here is that, you know, the art of compromise in Washington is sort of, it's a lost art. Nobody really knows what to do. This is not an issue that cuts neatly along partisan lines. That used to be considered a good thing. You know, like these governors, you got the Arizona, New Mexico, California, Texas governor, two Republicans, two Democrats, one Republican, one Democrat on each side of the National Guard issue.
Yep.
That used to be considered an opportunity because you'd get votes, you'd horse trade, you'd compromise, you'd talk about the merits of a bill. But now in Washington, nobody quite knows how to behave if there's not strict partisanship.
Well, the president trying to marshal those forces last night. Carl Cannon with the National Journal, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's listen to the president on the National Guard being deployed to the border.
One way to help during this transition is to use the National Guard. So in coordination with governors, up to 6,000 Guard members will be deployed to our southern border. The Border Patrol will remain in the lead. The Guard will assist the Border Patrol by operating surveillance systems, analyzing intelligence, installing fences and vehicle barriers, building patrol roads, and providing training. Guard units will not be involved in direct law enforcement activities. That duty will be done by the Border Patrol. This initial commitment of Guard members would last for a period of 1 year. After that, the number of Guard forces will be reduced as new Border Patrol agents and new technologies come online. It is important for Americans to know that we have enough Guard forces to win the war on terror, to respond to natural disasters, and to help secure our border.
The president last night putting troops on the border, or hoping to. We're joined right now from Phoenix, Arizona, by Daniel Gonzalez, immigration reporter for the Arizona Republic newspaper there. Daniel, you followed this for a long time. Is this a big deal, what the president announced last night on border security and National Guard, or not?
Well, I think it's a big deal in the sense that there are a lot of people in Arizona who have been calling for the National Guard for months, if not years. They've been asking the governor to do it. The governor kind of went halfway on it. There are some National Guard troops from Arizona already at the border playing a supportive role. So it's a big deal, that I think, in the sense that there are a lot of people saying, well, I'm glad to see the president's talking about this, is going to be taking that step to put the National Guard on the border. Some folks, though, would think he hasn't gone far enough. They'd like to see the National Guard play a direct, active role, involved in interdiction, involved directly side by side with the Border Patrol.
Not just supporting them, but getting involved. But you've reported, Daniel, that after all the billions that have been pumped into this in the last decade, you know, this piece tripled, the Border Patrol tripled, all kinds of militarization already with fence and aircraft and sensors and cameras, that the inflow just keeps growing. And it was, what, a million people turned back last year, let alone those who got in.
Yeah, and the story that we showed is that border enforcement alone doesn't work. I want to go back to another point, though,
mm-hmm.
about the reaction. That's the reaction from one side. And the other side, as you know, Arizona is a border state. We have a very large Hispanic population here, and they view the border, they view the National Guard be at the border as a slap in the face to the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
They see people coming across, and as you probably know, Phoenix is one of the most booming cities in America.
Yep.
Anywhere you go, you see construction being done, and most of that construction, most of those workers are Latino workers, immigrant workers. So they see that as a direct affront, but they say, well, if this is what it's going to take to achieve comprehensive immigration reform, then it's a slap in the face that's worth taking. Getting back, though, to the to the border enforcement, and what we showed was that border enforcement alone just does not work. You could line up people from one end of the border to the other hand in hand, and people are still going to find a way to get across, so long as there is a lack of good jobs in Mexico and a plentiful good-paying jobs in this country. That's the root of the problem. Until that's addressed, putting the National Guard at the border and beefing up the Border Patrol, you know, doubling its size and pumping billions of dollars into it, is not going to work.
So the president didn't quite put it this way, but what he seems to suggest is a bargain like this. We'll seal the border, dear people who are worried, and then work with me to solve this inside. You're saying the border cannot be sealed?
No, I don't think it can be. I mean, people here have called for putting up a wall, and what people say here is you put up a 16-foot wall, people will build, 18-foot ladders.
Right now, Jennifer's calling from Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hello.
What do you think?
I'm very torn with this because I feel for the people that are coming across the border. They want a better life, but I do believe there is a better way to do it.
Did you watch the president last night, Jennifer?
Yes, I did. I watched very closely, and I listened very closely. And one of the things that I've heard through all the debates that I believe is missing is that we are not discussing one of the key components, is that people are coming over, they're having children, which is normal for people to do, but once their children are born here, they are U.S. citizens.
Yep,
are going to tear apart families, and that is what people are saying. And that is a loophole that we may have to close.
Well, you'll tear apart families unless they follow their family in and are reunited here. Daniel Gonzalez, what about it? Two pieces here. There's the ceiling, but there's also who will come and who will not. From the experience of Arizona, do you think the president is solving that with what he's describing last night?
Well, I mean, the president, I think he made it clear he wasn't just talking about sealing the border. He's talking about sealing the border as being part of a comprehensive package. And I think, you know, when you talk about it in that terms, I think you are talking about solving the problem. He's talking about sealing the border, creating a temporary worker program that allows people to come in legally to do these jobs rather than forcing them across through the doors through the desert where they risk dying and, you know, all kinds of dangers. And then he's talking about cracking down at the workplace and making sure that employers are held accountable by creating a tamper-proof ID. And he's talking about finding a way for people who have been here for a long time and have sunk roots into the community to find a way for them to be legalized. So he's talking about using the border security, tightening the border as part of a comprehensive package. And when you talk about it that way, then yes, I think you are talking about solutions.
So there's a whole package, but the pressure never ends. As you report, in the year you looked at, one undocumented immigrant was arrested every 30 seconds. A million plus in that year picked up on the southwestern border. Daniel Gonzalez at the Arizona Republic, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
I want to turn now to a couple of close observers of what's been going on here. Congressman Tom Tancredo, a Republican congressman from Colorado, arch critic of illegal immigration, joins us. Congressman Tancredo, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure, sir.
We're also joined by Linda Chavez. She is chairman of the Center for Equal Opportunity. It's a nonprofit public research organization, author of Outside the Barrio, Toward a New Politics of Hispanic Assimilation. She was George Bush's nominee for Secretary of Labor in 2001. That got withdrawn. Linda Chavez, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you.
Tom Tancredo, first to you. You've been pretty fierce all the way along on immigration. Did the president win you over last night?
Well, I'm afraid not. I am certainly happy to hear that after, let's see now, 9 years of passage of an amendment in the House to put troops on the border, the president has agreed to finally do that. We have passed that resolution since 1997. The Senate has taken it out every year. But and I'm also glad to hear him talk about some sort of ID for a legal alien, although today, this moment in time, every single... There is something called the Social Security check system that every employer could use. But I am terribly disappointed that he continues to marry these concepts, one, immigration enforcement, and two, illegal immigration amnesty. These things are not compatible. They will not be acceptable. I hope that the House will turn them down. I certainly will try my best to make sure that happens.
The president said very clearly last night, this is not amnesty, the path to citizenship that he would open up here. Do you agree?
Yeah, we need to keep sending him a dictionary. He can say as often as he wants to that it is not amnesty. When you tell someone who is here illegally that they can stay here, that is amnesty, and it is... There really isn't much room for debate about this. you can try to obfuscate, which he does. You can try to spin it in a way that doesn't sound like amnesty, but it is amnesty, and it is a lousy public policy. It simply tells every single person who has done it the right way that they're nothing but suckers.
The president says we've got to reach a rational middle ground here, Tom Tancredo. The suggestion is that that those who won't come to him are not being rational. Maybe you.
Yeah, I understand that that's probably how he sees it. Let me suggest to you that the rational middle ground that we can come to is this. Prove to us that you are serious about securing the border. Don't do another Simpson-Mazzoli on us.
What do you mean by that?
Sent 20 years ago, we did exactly the same thing, gave amnesty to what we thought was going to be 1 million. It turned out to be 3 million. Then did nothing about securing the borders, although that was the promise of Simpson-Mazzoli. Now, we are going down the same pathway. If we give the president the two ideas together, we will eventually end up with only amnesty because he isn't committed to it. If he shows me and the other members of the Congress who are concerned about this, and the American public, by the way, if he shows us that he is truthfully committed to the concept of enforcement, and that's going to take more than a couple of weeks, let me tell you, then I'll be happy to talk about a guest worker program. That is a compromise, I think, that is certainly one that is feasible.
Congressman, stick with us for a moment. Linda Chavez, you hear Tom Tancredo. He's been a big, big opponent here, and he's still saying no way, no how this morning, at least as things stand today. So is the congressman and those who share his perspective, are they in the rational middle ground or not?
Well, what he's really saying is no way, Jose. In fact, Congressman Tom Tancredo is not just opposed to illegal immigration. He has, for a number of years, introduced legislation which would prevent any Mexicans from coming legally into the United States. He wants a moratorium on Mexican immigration. And I find this very surprising, particularly given Tom Tancredo's conservative credentials, because most of us who are conservatives, and as you know, I am a conservative Republican,
yep,
believe in the free market, and we believe that it is very difficult for government to come in and to try to centrally plan the economy. Our economy is now creating 2 million jobs each and every year. We have unemployment at about 4.7%. The reason these people are coming is not just because they want jobs, but because we want them as workers in the United States.
So when you say Tom Tancredo is saying no way, Jose, are you saying there's a racial factor at work here?
Oh, I think there is very much a concern. And by the way, it's not an illegitimate concern to worry that the culture of the United States is going to be dramatically changed because you have a lot of new people coming in who speak another language. And we certainly have a different policy in the United States than we had at the time that Tom Tancredo's grandfather came to the United States. When he came from Italy, if he was typical of his generation of immigrants, he was probably illiterate. Then we had virtually no laws preventing people from coming. You know, I'm always fascinated when people talk about how their ancestors came legally. That's because we basically let anybody who wanted to come come through the door. I mean, if you could pay for the ticket and if you didn't have tuberculosis or another communicable disease, basically we welcomed you.
Let me now, put that to Congressman Tancredo. Your grandfather there suggested he was an illiterate immigrant from Italy and it was easy for him. Why are you so tough on this generation? Linda Chavez saying it's a race and culture issue. The president suggesting last night that's our tradition. We absorb. We're the melting pot.
First of all, let me address this issue of introducing legislation to prevent Mexicans from coming into the United States. I don't know where Linda is. I don't know what she's reading. It's certainly nothing I have ever written and nothing I have ever proposed. The legislation that I proposed dealing with a reduction in legal immigration has nothing to do about, and it says nothing about Mexico. Of course, we get a majority of illegal immigrants coming into this country from Mexico. That is true. But what I am concerned about has, I assure you, nothing to do with race, with ethnicity, or country of origin. And there is nothing I have ever said or written that can be identified in such a way. So I'm surprised that Linda would say that.
But let me ask you about
My grandfather came into this country absolutely just as you described. He came in actually as a 9-year-old by himself. So
wow.
I sure, he wasn't speaking English and didn't carry a copy of the Constitution with him when he came. But you see, we have passed laws subsequent to that time to establish an immigration policy. We either now, and by the way, millions and millions of people have adhered to those laws. That's the way they've come into this country. I go to naturalization ceremonies every time I can when I'm home. I tell all of the people who are taking the oath of citizenship that day, I tell them two things. And by the way, many of them are Mexicans. And what I say is, one, welcome to America. Two, thank you for doing it the right way. Because every single time we give someone who has done it the wrong way the same kind of benefits you have just received, then, of course, it's a slap in the face to everybody in the room.
Congressman Tancredo, of course, the president saying last night, let's get real. We've got millions of people in this country. We've got to do something about it. You know, he turned on the full presidential spotlight there last night, Oval Office, the flags at his shoulders, pretty calm and collected. I guess the point is here, whether or not he's pushing people like you to the margins, do you think he's going to win over enough Americans and with that enough congressmen to get something more like the Senate version of immigration reform passed or not?
Right now, I will tell you that a majority of Americans believe as I do, and so it's pretty hard to identify me or to, quote, marginalize me. The most Americans, and by the way, Democrats by a 56% majority, Republicans by a larger, and independents, all majorities of all sectors agree that we must end illegal immigration. They agree that we have to tighten up our borders, that we should go after employers.
Tom, you and I are old friends, and we've been in a lot of battles together. You and I, in fact, tried to get a initiative passed in Colorado that would get rid of bilingual education, which we both agree is a travesty, and help newcomers learn English. The problem, though, Tom, with your
approach... That's why I was so surprised to hear what you my legislation as being anti-Mexican.
Well, your legislation would limit immigration to the number of people who leave the country every year. You'd limit it to 300,000. And you've spoken very approvingly of J.D. Hayworth's book and J.D. Hayworth's plan, and J.D. Hayworth would, in fact, stop all immigration from Mexico for 3 years.
Linda, push us forward. Do you think Tom Tancredo is going to be pushed here by the president, Ms. Chavez?
Well, the problem with Tom Tancredo's approach and J.D. Hayworth and all of the others is that when you have an economy that is creating millions of jobs every year, and you have an unemployment rate, which most economists would agree is full employment, it's under 5%, you need new workers. And the point is, the only way that you can truly enforce the border and security at the border is to give people a legal way to come. I'm for stopping illegal immigration. I just disagree with Tom and some of his colleagues among the House Republicans who say that you can build a fence and that you can put more troops on the border and that that's going to do it.
Well, more troops are on the way. Linda Chavez, Tom Tancredo, so many listeners want to join this conversation. Allow me to get at least one in right here. Larry's calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Larry. You're on the air. What do you think of the president's message last night? What you're hearing today?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm just going to have to see what the outcome of his little proposal last night is going to be. Now, I will listen to Tom, you know. Tom has the right ideas, and the other female, you know, the female calling racist and things of that nature. No, I don't think Tom is a racist. I think he's doing a good job, and if I was in the state that he was in, I would vote for him, surely not her.
But
he's on the right track.
But, Larry, the president says, look, we've got a long tradition of accepting people in this country, and we have millions already here. What do you want? Do you want them rounded up by the millions and sent back across the border? President says we cannot do that.
Well, if we was in Mexico, they would round us up and send us back. And then not only that, if we over in Mexico illegally, they will give us a 2-year sentence in prison, and there's a possibility that we may not even get out of prison. If they're going to give amnesty, what the president is talking about, amnesty. If he want to do it like that, you take all the prisoners in the United States of America and you give all the prisoners in the United States amnesty.
So there's a tough line lining right up with Congressman Tancredo. Congressman, you say that Americans overwhelmingly support your view, but there are other polls that say an awful lot, 80-plus percent of Americans, I forget the exact language here, but they want a solution to this. Are you so sure that the president is not going to sway the center on you and leave you outside the majority here?
I don't know, sir. I do not know. How can I possibly gauge that?
You must be talking to your colleagues. You saw the speech yourself.
Right. Well, I have not had a chance really to talk to any of my colleagues. But I have been on a lot of shows, radio
sure
and television, talking about how I feel. I do not know how they are going to be affected by this. But I will tell you that there is an alternative, and it is not rounding people up by the millions, putting all of the connotation of that, the negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to actually do something very radical. I admit this is a radical new approach that I'm going to suggest. So everybody just sort of hold on to your
seat. Right.
But it is this. Enforce the law. That's it. I know it's to a lot of people it's a pretty strange concept, but if we enforce the law, we don't even need another set of laws. If we simply go after the people who are presently hiring illegal aliens, we will see that through attrition, we will accomplish, to a large extent, the goal of dealing with the people who are presently here illegally. You don't have to have amnesty.
You will cause a terrible inflationary impact on our economy. 5% of our GDP is produced by people who are in this country illegally.
Pedro's calling from Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Pedro. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What do you think?
I've been living in Framingham for 17 years, came from Brazil, and for 14 out of those 17 years, I was an illegal immigrant myself.
Okay.
And obviously I have bias when it comes to the whole debate, but when I think about it, I think I have a kind of unique perspective on it, like an insider's perspective. I meet with illegal immigrants on a daily basis. A lot of the Brazilian community in the area is formed by people that came into the country illegally.
Yep.
And when I hear Mr. Tancredo, his proposal of how solving this problem, in a way even sounds naive, childish. How can, like the House, for example, they were proposing making millions of people, if illegal immigration became a felony, just marginalize all those people.
Even helping them would be a crime, but President Bush says there's a middle ground. Do you see it here, Pedro?
Yes, I do see it. I think it is a problem if it keeps going the way it is. And what I think it should be done is looked at it from a practical perspective, and people just don't do it. You know what I mean? These people, a lot of these illegal immigrants, they're not even contributing tax, for example, because they're not allowed to. They're not given a social security number where they could actually pay the taxes, and therefore the federal and state governments, they lose money on that. And there's a whole bunch of other issues that could
be. Sure. So that leaves you in the get real camp, Pedro, saying, come on, we're here. Let's acknowledge that and figure out how to deal with it. Thanks for that call. Linda Chavez, you know how hot a hot-button issue this can be. It pretty much derailed your nomination as Secretary of Labor when it turned out the Guatemalan immigrant Marta Mercado had been living with you. You said you hadn't employed her illegally, but just the appearance that you might have was enough to send that right off the rails. Is the president changing that? Is there an attitude adjustment that's underway in this country that's going to make people more open to a more open-handed immigration policy?
Well, first of all, when I had Marta Mercado living in my home, I wasn't breaking any laws. However, if the House bill were to become law, I would suddenly become a felon simply for providing a roof over somebody's head and giving her money for education and helping her get back to her family in Guatemala.
Yep.
That would make me a lawbreaker. And I think most Americans, when they really think about that, realize that this is punitive. And more importantly, as I was trying to, discuss with Tom Tancredo, it's not in the interests of the United States. I mean, we have these workers here because we need them. They are good workers. 92% of illegal alien men are in the workforce. They have a higher labor force participation rate than the native-born do.
But can't you see how people bridle? When you said earlier that when President Bush said these are jobs Americans won't do, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. You said that they won't do them as well as foreigners. I mean,
and they shouldn't do them, by the way, because
but if they don't have a high school diploma,
on average, Americans have 13.6 years of education. Do you really want somebody with a year and a half of college digging ditches or standing online in a chicken processing plant?
But you know that's the average, and we've got people that aren't in that situation who do need work. The idea that there are jobs Americans won't do, that seems to me to be kind of a new take on the world.
Well, it isn't really a new take, and in fact,
we dug ditches, we dug canals.
Many of our high school dropouts drop out of school because they get involved with breaking the law, because they get involved with drugs. Young women drop out because they have babies out of wedlock. All of these factors, including, you know, being able to show up on time and put in a hard day's work, the fact is that our high school dropout, U.S.-born population of all ethnicities, there are plenty of Mexican-Americans in that category, for example, don't necessarily compete well against people who are desperate for a chance at the American dream. And frankly, I just don't understand why it is we're even having this debate today. You would think that illegal immigration is at an all-time high if you listen to Tom Tancredo, but the peak in illegal immigration came in the late 1990s. It actually peaked in the year 2000.
Well, still pretty high, though. 2003, 4 a million caught and turned back. That means a whole lot have to be coming through.
25% lower than it was in the year 2000.
But we're not talking small numbers
here. Why are we having this debate today? I mean, I think a lot of it is driven by fears about terrorism. And sure, we need to protect our borders, and that's why it probably is a good idea to get more either border agents or perhaps National Guard as backup down on the border to try to secure it. But unless you stop, unless you give people a way to come legally, because we need about 1.5 to 2 million people each and every year, unless you give people a way to come legally, they will find a way to come illegally. And, you know, we're talking about the Mexican border. The only terrorist attack that we are aware of that was launched across the border, or was attempted to be launched across the border, was Ahmed Rassam, who tried to come in 2000 from Canada.
The old Millennium Bomber there up north of Seattle. Linda Chavez, if you'd stand by for just a moment. I want to welcome into our conversation from Washington Deborah Myers. She's senior policy analyst with the Migration Policy Institute in Washington. She was recently down with the Border Patrol in Laredo, Texas. Deborah, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
Here you are. Maybe you're in that rational middle ground. You tell us, how did you see the president's presentation last night? If you're our neutral observer here, is he making progress towards something that will work and something that will pass?
Well, ultimately, I think there is going to have to be a middle ground that the Congress can agree on. And that's where the majority of the American people are on this. There's probably 10% to the extreme left, 10% to the extreme right, and most of the American public is in the middle. And I think what the president did last night was outline the importance of addressing these issues in a comprehensive way. And I think the most important point is that in order to get to the border security that we all want, reducing illegal immigration, which is what everyone can agree on, there are a number of steps that need to be taken, which include not only additional measures to secure the border, but also measures that would reduce pressure on the border, including creating legal channels for entry through a temporary worker program.
So you buy what the president says, that you think that if we have a guest worker, a temporary worker program, that would really take pressure off the border? Aren't there more Mexicans that who want to come north than would be accommodated in that program?
Well, I think there are a combination of measures that we need to take. Part of that is creating a temporary worker program, but at the same time, we need to do a much better job of enforcing the laws at our workplaces that make it illegal for an employer, for a U.S. employer, to hire an unauthorized worker. Until people in Mexico and other countries believe that they really can't get a job in the United States illegally, they will continue to try to enter.
I wonder if that's doable. Ade is calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Hi, Ade. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Actually, I've been listening to your conversations, and I just think it's a simple thing. And I do agree with the caller from Seattle, and also Ms. Chavez. It's we have a problem in America, and it's the worker program, it's the immigration program, like we're saying, the immigration problem. But the main thing is, these people are always going to come since we have the jobs here. And I do agree with a worker program, because you can deploy as many as many forces as you want to put on the borders, but that will not solve the problem. Like,
so,
one
so
of
you
the
say bring on the guest workers, and you think that will work?
Yes, it would, because those people really don't want to live in America. They just want to work. And if you have a legal guest worker program where they can come, they're registered, and they can work, and I'm telling you, it solves the immigration problem. It solves the illegal immigration problem.
There's a vote
problem
for that piece of the president's pie. Linda Chavez, I know we have you just for a minute more on the guest worker side. Do you really believe that will alleviate the pressure at the border? And what about the concern that over many years this creates a kind of an underclass of, you know, workers in America who don't have full rights?
Well, first of all, you know, I am concerned about the latter point. I would have a mix of a guest worker program and a bigger legal immigrant permanent resident population admitted each year. I think you need a combination, because I think people should be happy when newcomers come here and want to become part of our society. They do contribute greatly to this country, and we ought to give them an avenue to do so. There are some people who will come and leave their families behind in Mexico or El Salvador or wherever. They want to be able to have a chance to work here for a few years, to put together a stake, and to be able to go back to their own countries and raise their families. So I think we actually need both. More permanent residents and a guest worker program. And if you look at the trends in migration, you find that they very much track the employment numbers in this country. When we have a recession, as we did in 2001, the numbers plummet. We had a loss in illegal immigrants between 2001 and 2004, and that's because the economy was struggling and we had a terrorist attack on this country. So I think the market works. I think people will come when there are jobs, and I think we ought to be happy to have them come because they are good contributing members of this society.
Linda Chavez, chairman of the Center for Equal Opportunity, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Lisa Maria is calling from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Hi, Lisa Maria. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Very well. What do you think?
Well, I have 2 points to make. One is, one thing that's been absent from the whole debate has been the country of origin situation there. My own family immigrated from El Salvador a decade, starting in the 50s, and their immigration ended abruptly in the mid-80s because my family had risen to middle class in their own country of origin.
Okay.
And I think if we give economic opportunity to the countries of origin that are producing the majority of the immigrants, that might stem the flow of illegal immigration. My second point is that the debate is framed in terms of two things, illegal immigration and immigration, and they seem to be confused a lot. And this is producing a chilling effect in the great majority of legal immigrant population here. I know that my husband's family came from India, my family came from El Salvador, and when we read polls that say two-thirds of the people oppose immigration, we feel distinctly unwanted despite being born here and raising our American cultured children. I'll take my comments off the air.
We've got it. And thanks very much, Lisa Maria, for your call. Deborah Myers, it's true, it all gets mixed together a bit, but it really is the illegal side of it that has the big debate going. I mean, people generally tend to welcome legal immigration. The president, I would say, was right on that when he hit that chord last night.
I think that's exactly right. And I think that we are actually responsible in many ways as a country for the illegal immigration that we do have. People would prefer to come legally. And as Ms. Chavez was saying, there are problems with our permanent legal immigration system that have actually encouraged people to try to circumvent that system to come illegally. There are very few legal ways of coming on a permanent basis, particularly for lower-skilled workers. And at the same time, there have been few disincentives for trying to get that illegal job in the workplace because there's very little enforcement. So I think we've been complicit in that illegal immigration, unfortunately, and that's something that, as a nation, I think we have a responsibility to address. And so I think the president is right in the way in which he's going about this.
Let me take a call from Pian in Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Pian, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I have a restaurant in Boston, and I'm hiring illegal immigrants. Some, you know, I have illegal immigrants working for me.
Right.
But the problem is because not that I have a choice. I put the job order into the market.
You put the job out there, and that's who you get, you're saying, Pian.
That's what I got, because the process of USCIS takes years and years and years, that I could not get someone to work for me.
So you get illegals. If there were a new ID card that was more high-tech and really worked and kept you from hiring illegals, do you think that would change the situation?
That would totally change the situation. And, of course, I would like to, you know, sponsorship for these people who are working for me. They are hard worker, and they are great people. They have family. They are good people. And I would do that for them.
If you had to hire legal workers, would your prices go up, Pian?
Go up, but I'm willing to pay that price because they will make this country safer and make their lives better.
Pian, we appreciate your firsthand view on this. Thanks for your call. Deborah, what about it? There's an employer who says straight up, I hire illegal workers because I can't get anybody else to respond to my want ads for workers. Would that be taken care of under the president's plan or not?
Yes, I think it would. We want to give employers exactly like that the opportunity to hire willing workers who are legal workers, and we want to give her the opportunity to sponsor an employee if she wants to do that for permanent residence, and we want to be able to give an employer, as she was talking about, a way to easily verify the status of her worker so she can make that determination. Most employers are just what we heard. They're good employers. They want to do the right thing, and it's the government's job to facilitate that so that that can happen.
I wonder, still there's awful big demand in people taking employees off the record there. We've just got half a minute, Deborah. What's the bottom line? Your calculus, you've been watching this for a long time. Do you think the president's speech is going to help push this over the top in Congress, or is he still stuck with his own party's resistance here?
I don't think the president will. I'm skeptical that he'll be able to convince the very hardline anti-immigrant wing of his party about the merits of his plan. But I think that with the bully pulpit that the president has, if he continues to speak the way he did last night and to lead on this issue, that he can garner enough support, certainly to encourage passage of a comprehensive bill in the Senate and hopefully a good bill that would come out of a conference committee between the Senate and the House.
Well, at least he's talking now, and it's been a while since he took such a prominent role here. I guess maybe never, but last night he began. Deborah Myers, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Deborah Myers, Senior Policy Analyst with the Migration Policy Institute in Washington. Listeners, you can continue this conversation or download the On Point podcast and subscribe to our daily newsletter all at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.